Well, good morning, folks. How are you? Welcome to my daily update, otherwise known as coffee or strong espresso with Graham. Trust you well, wherever you are in the world watching this today. It's Tuesday today. I am doing a few videos here. I'm about to head off to my office and I've got some meetings there, hence the tie. I have greater anointment where I wear a tie, I believe. It's my theology anyway, and I'm sticking to it. Hey, I want to share something with you in a moment on God doing a new thing. But before I do that, a few quick housekeeping pieces as usual. Hey, if you're new to any of my platforms, YouTube, podcasts, my website, social media, please consider hitting the subscribe button. There's one of those on YouTube there or whatever platform you're on. We put this out through video, audio, websites, different things every day. So it'd really help if you subscribe and help get the word out. Secondly, I've got an email newsletter I send out once a week with lots of updates and goodies. So I'd love to have you receive that. We have a free gift, a three-hour teaching on hearing God's voice for everybody who subscribes. So there'll be a link below or go to gjm.org to subscribe to that. And lastly, I want to say a big thanks to all of my friends and partners of Graham Jones Ministries. You know who you are. I have the greatest Holy Ghost bunch of intercessors and friends and partners and givers, those who send, those who go with us, who come on mission trips, and those who send us on mission trips. So thank you guys. And if you're interested in joining that partner team, again, details are on my website. Hey, lastly, let me mention just a few upcoming things as well. This evening, I'll be doing a live event. I'm actually doing like a roundtable discussion on the church. I mean, the church big picture, what God is doing with the church, what God wants to do in the church, how the church responds in 2020, where the church is going, where the church is not going, lots of things like that. So I've got a couple of friends and we're going to have just a fun discussion. And we'd love you to be part of the discussion as well. So we'll be going live on my YouTube channel and also all of the websites I have, GJM, Sturbridge Worship Center, Berkshire Christian Fellowship, New England Fellowship, Mission Island, Mission Wales, all of those places. So I'd love to have you on board and join us and be part of that interactive conversation. This coming Sunday, I'm going to be speaking in Sturbridge in the morning again. And then Sunday afternoon, we're doing a public gospel healing event on Norwalk Common at 4 p.m. So I'd love to have you there. The following week, I'll be speaking in the Berkshires. So more details out soon for that. Let me just say as well, I've had to cancel lots of meetings, like a lot of people who travel in ministry in 2020. And I actually wanted to be back on the road by now. I actually planned to be in Europe next week, but life and COVID. So at the moment, I'm actually booking meetings for 2021. So if you're interested either in the US or in Europe in booking some meetings there, go to my website and I have some dates open for 2021. Be really open to speaking to church, a conference, or do an outreach crusade event with you there, or even speak at an online service while this COVID thing, because I know a lot of Europe is in lockdown at the moment. So if we can help and be a blessing there, we'd love to do that. Boom. Hey, let me share something with you today. And I like upsetting people maybe, but I want you to think. I like Christians who think. And, you know, one of the dangers for all of us is we come to Jesus and we hear somebody else say something and it sounds really cool. It sounds edgy. It sounds like they're clued in with what God is doing. So we end up repeating it. And, you know, when I used to travel in ministry a lot more, I used to joke and say that people who travel in ministry, they'll come and they'll say, as Bill Johnson says, and then quote Bill Johnson. And then a year later, they'll say, as somebody says, and then they'll quote Bill Johnson. And then a year after that, they'll say, as I always say, and quote Bill Johnson. That's obviously wrong if they're doing it intentionally. But my point being, we sometimes pick things up by osmosis. And there's a phrase you'll hear a lot in the body of Christ that seems to cycle through again and again. And it's a phrase I'm hearing a lot right now. And it's this simple phrase, God is doing a new thing. And I want to challenge you to think for a few moments today, is God doing a new thing? It seems, it's one of those phrases, it seems nearly blasphemous to say, no, God is not doing a new thing. But I'm not sure that he is. And here's where I'm going with that. Number one, when we say something like God is doing a new thing, usually 90% of the time, somebody's going to quote a scripture from the Old Testament and then try and apply it in a New Testament context. And again, by that I mean, so God would come to an Isaiah, to a Jeremiah, and he would say, you know, you guys are living under the covenant of Moses, the covenant of condemnation, the covenant of the law. And God would come and say, behold, I will do a new thing. The day will come where I'll no longer write my covenant on a tablet of stone or a paper. I'll write it in the tablets of your heart. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I will do a new thing. And amen. But the thing is, that was fulfilled and accomplished in the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and the outpouring of the Spirit of Jesus 2,000 years ago. And in a very real sense, I believe God is not doing a new thing. I believe rather we are living in the new thing. And I think as you look through the course of history, what happens is the church wanders. We lose the plot. We wander. We get distracted by all sorts of different things. And then God brings us back to the new thing, back to the old thing, back to the thing he's been doing for the last 2,000 years. And we've so lost the sense of reality of where we, who we should be and what we should be doing, that we look at it and we go, oh, God's doing a new thing. But I believe it's actually really empowering to realize, I don't think God is doing a new thing. I think he's bringing us back to normal Christianity. To the new creation. The new thing is the new creation. The new thing is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The new thing is walking, living in the secret place and not living behind a curtain and sending a priest in once a week. It's being welcome in the presence of God. You know, I put it this way. What was God saying to that very early church after Pentecost in that honeymoon period? 3,000 came to Christ, 5,000 came to Christ, the breaking bread, the meeting in the temple, worshiping. It's like this little honeymoon for a while. What was God saying? I believe he was saying, walk in the Spirit, walk in the secret place, walk in fellowship with me. I think he was saying, walk in the promises of the word, be a people of faith, walk by the word of God. I think number three, he was saying, walk the love life, love one another, love God, love each other, love the world. By this will all men know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. And I think he was saying, number four, go into the world and preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, give the good news away, go on mission. What was God saying when persecution hit and the church scattered? I think God was saying, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Word, walk in love, walk out the mission of the church. What was God saying 100 years later when the early apostles had died and, you know, it was the time of Polycarp, Titanius? What was God saying in the period of Augustine? I think God was saying, walk in the Spirit. I think God was saying, walk in the promises of the word, be a people of faith. I think God was saying, walk the love life out. I think he was saying, preach the gospel to every creature. What was God saying in the age of, you know, the dark ages, Thomas Aquinas? I think God was saying, you've got it, walk in the Spirit, walk in the word, walk in love, walk out the mission of God. What was God saying in the Reformation to Martin Luther, to Zwingli, to Calvin? I think he was saying, walk in the Spirit, walk in the... Yeah. Now, I think, what happens is the church so loses the plot at times that somebody like a Martin Luther begins to read the scripture and goes, looks at Ephesians 2, looks at the church he's living in and goes, oh my God, we need to make changes here, and begins preaching justification by faith, not by works, and gets thrown out of the church and has to start a new church, if you will, the Lutheran church originally, the Reformation, to do what? To do a new thing? No, to do the old thing, to do the normal thing. And at times we look back at those seasons of history and we say, wow, the Reformation, God was doing a new thing. I think it's really empowering though to realize, no, he was bringing us back to normal Christianity. He was bringing us back to the old thing. Again, I've been a believer long enough to know, some of you have too, more than I have, but I remember the 70s when there was a crisis, OPEC, there was no oil, gas lines, you know, the Iranian revolution, all of these things. And then the 80s, I grew up in the 80s where I literally remember as a kid watching planes fly over and thinking, is that going to be a nuclear attack of the Soviets? And, you know, the 90s, some of you remember more than 2001, you know, September 11th, all of these. Here's my point. We're always walking through life and there are good moments and disasters. Every generation tends to think, oh my God, the world is falling apart. And then every generation of the church also thinks, oh, We need reformation. We need revival. The church is not fulfilling its mission. We need God to do a new thing. And we do need God to do a new thing. But reformation is when, not when God does a new thing, but when the church stops doing a new thing and the church comes back to it is written, back to life in the Spirit, back to life in the Word, back to the love life, back to the life of mission. You know, I've been a believer long enough to know that every 2 or 3 years, there'll be a new teaching, that there's a fresh anointing. There's a new anointing going to be released to the body of Christ. I fell into that for many, many years. And I've learned that I don't need a new anointing. I have the original anointing. I don't need a new flame. I've got the original flame that Jesus had, that God sent down. That flame that God sent down on the day of Pentecost, I have it living within me right now. My job is not to say, God, would you send more anointing? Send a fresh anointing. Send fresh fire. Rather, to put kindling on the fire. My job is not to pray for a new gift, but to stir up the gift of God within me. I don't need a new anointing. I've got the new anointing. I need to learn to flow in the new anointing, to grieve, not quench, not the Spirit. So does God do a new thing? In one sense, yes. He does a new thing, though, by provoking the church to come back to the original thing. So what is God saying to the church in 2020? You've guessed it. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the Word, walk in love, walk out the mission of heaven. I think he's bringing us back to that thing. Now, you could say, Graham, isn't this a question of perspective? And I agree it is. Here's a challenge, though. When we buy into that new thing theology, what we sometimes do is we sit around waiting, like the apostles in Acts 1, gazing into heaven, waiting for a new thing, waiting for a new anointing. You know, I believe at times God is going to the church and saying, what are you guys doing? And the church is saying, we believe a new thing's coming. We believe a big revival's coming. We believe God is going to do something new in the nation. We, you know, I'm recording this 1 week away from the elections, and we tend to look at things like the elections and go, this is the most important election ever. And I agree, it probably is. But do you know what I know? Write this down for sure. In 4 years' time, whoever, whether Mr. Trump or Mr. Biden wins, in 4 years' time, the church will be looking. In 4 years' time, we won't go, this is a really boring election that has no effect. In 4 years' time, all of the voices will be saying, this is the most important election. And they will probably be right too. And in 4 years after that, we'll be saying the same things. And in 4 years' time, God will be saying, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive, freely give. In 4 years' time, God will be saying, love one another as I loved you. In 4 years, the Lord will be saying, don't walk by sight, be a man or woman of faith, walk in the Word. In 4 years' time, God will be saying, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spirit. God will be saying, come back to the new thing. Don't get distracted by the bright flashing objects, the neon lights all around you. Stay in your course. Stay in the mission. Whether Jesus comes back tomorrow or in 10,000 years, I want to be walking in the Spirit, walking in the Word, walking in love, walking out the mission of God, the global mission, but my mission. How about you? Boom. That's my thought for the day, guys. Hope you're well. Again, drop me a line. Tell me where I'm wrong. I'm only joking. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. And again, speaking God's best and God's blessing over you, my friends, this day. Bye for now.